Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2. Chapter 2, text 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tenatmanatmanam mukhaiti shantam anandamanandamayo vasani etanjatim bhagavatim jatova savaitunameha vasajatenga. Only the purified souls can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead, complete bliss and satisfaction in his constituent state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world and he never returns. Therefore, we should specifically note in this verse the description of Gatim Bhagavatam. Become merged in the rays of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of God, it is stated by the Brahmavadi impersonalist, is not Bhagavatam Gatim. The Bhagavatas, never accept merging in the impersonal rays of the Lord, but always aspire after personal association with the Supreme Lord and one of the Vaikuntha spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. The whole of the spiritual sky, of which the total number of the material skies is only an insignificant part, is full of unlimited numbers of Vaikuntha planets. The destination of the devotee, the Bhagavata, is to enter into one of the Vaikuntha planets, in each of which the personality of God in his unlimited personal expansion enjoys himself in the association of unlimited numbers of pure devotee associates. The conditioned souls in the material world, after gaining emancipation by devotional service, are promoted to these planets. But the number of ever-liberated souls is far, far greater than the number of conditioned souls in the material world. And the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha planets never care to visit this miserable material world. Sukadeva Goswami's instructions to Maharaj Prickett concerning the indirect process of achieving spiritual perfection, more or less by mechanical means. We'll see this towards the end of the chapter. You can go directly or you can go indirectly. So the indirect process was described. almost by the will of your intelligence. Remember, you were searching out the different chakras in the body and moving the life airs and then leaving the body and the subtle body and ascending to the higher planetary system, becoming increasingly detached. And as one progresses in detachment, he progresses in his ascent to the topmost planet through the Milky Way. And then when he gets to this planet, he amalgamates everything that's external to the self back into the Mahatattva. culminating in the merging of the ego. Which is an interesting point, because as Prabhupada described in the purport, that the expansion of the material world begins from the ego. That a small part of the Mahatattva, or something, part of the Mahatattva is the ego, and a part of that ego is the intelligence, and a part of that intelligence is the mind, and it just expands the material world. So this process is kind of reversed. And now, Sukadeva Goswami is going to explain now a few more descriptions of this, that only the purified soul can attain this perfection of associating, retaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whoever attains this Bhagavat Gatim, the supreme destination, he never returns to the material world. So Prabhupada discussed that in the purport, that when you achieve this Bhagavat Gatim, this goal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you have no desire, again, to come into this world. And Prabhupada in the purport, I didn't read the whole purport, he gives the example of some type of fishes and rivers who go to the ocean, but because he said they spawn within the, they spawn within the rivers and streams, they can't stay in the ocean and they come back. The same way, you know, if you go to emerge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, the causal ocean, Prabhupada says, you come back. But if you enter the kingdom of God, and the reason Prabhupada gives is the Brahman effulgence does not afford any superior substitute for association and engagement of the senses. But any devotee who enters the kingdom of God by transcendental engagement in his senses and devotional service, and associates with the liberated souls and the personality, he was never attracted by the surroundings of the material world. And then the Bhagavad Gita verse is quoted, 8:15. Brother Narayani, which verse is that? Yeah. Never again. The Prabhupada quotes that. And because you've reached the culmination, there's nothing left yet to desire, then you can be shantin and anandam. You can have rest and satisfaction. You can't rest until you reach your destination. So the destination, the end, the culmination, the goal, is to have our eternal relationship with Krishna. And until the soul reaches that, there's no rest. And there's no satisfaction. There's no satisfaction because he hasn't achieved his natural position. Prabhupada sometimes described the Brahmachyoti as lonely. Well, Prabhupada gave another example. He said, you have milk and you have sugar. There's no real ecstasy. But if you mix them together and you make Shrikant and rubbery and sandesh and then, so this Bhagavat Gatim. So it's very interesting that the end result of this whole process of purifying your body and becoming detached and keeping your strict aim of where you're going, fixing up the intelligence, the result is Bhagavat Gatim. The destination is Bhagavat. Destination is God and our relationship with Him, which is what Sukadeva Goswami will later define in the Bhagavatam as mukti or liberation. Mukti hidvayata rupam, swa rupena vivastita. Being situated in our swa rup, our own identity as Krishna's servant. And then one never comes back again. So, Prabhupada describes this. The word we should note that the two words, shantam and anandam, which donate the devotional service of the Lord, can really bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, namely peace and satisfaction. And the impersonalist is desirous of becoming one with the Supreme. He wants to become the Supreme, and this is a myth. So he can't actually satisfy his desire. So it's not ultimate shantam, anandam. And then Prabhupada describes in the purport how attainment of love of God means complete freedom from all other attractions. When you actually have love of Godhead, there's no other attraction in the mind, not even for a second. There's not even any thought within the mind. We discussed this before, that prema means sandrandana visheshatma. It's concentrated, like the sun rays. It's just heat and light. There's no laxity. There's no air. The conditioned soul has many aspirations, such as becoming a religious man, a rich man, a first-class enjoyer, becoming God, or becoming powerful like the mystic. But all these aspirations should be rejected by the prospective devotee who actually wants to revive his dormant love of Godhead. A pure devotee has none of the tinges of the above contamination, which are the influence of material desires and personal speculation, taint and mystic powers. To be more clear, if one wants to attain the stage of love of God, he must give up all desires for material enjoyment. And the thing is, this will bring about love of Godhead or the stage of Shantam and Ananda, as stated in this verse. So that's the good thing. Do you have any thoughts on this? That gives that anandam. Now he finishes. Yes, dipti tainit praveda dipti prayabhi krishta chistanatanita yevai para brahmana ahat krishta aradito bhagavan vasudeva. Your Majesty, Maharaj Parikshit. By your Majesty, Maharaj Parikshit. Know that all that I have described in reply to your proper inquiry is just according to the version of the Vedas, and it is eternal truth. This was described personally by Lord Krishna unto Brahma, with whom the Lord was satisfied upon being properly worshipped. So, this inquiry, he replied to the inquiry, Veda Gati, according to the version of the Vedas. This is nice. You know, this is Pramana. Our method of evidence is that Shabda Pramana. It comes from the scriptures. So it's important to, in getting knowledge, to utilize that knowledge, you have to have faith. And the faith of any cultured person is that the knowledge is coming from the Vedas through the teacher. We'll always see that through the scripture, that it's always confirmed. And even the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, at the end of the third chapter, tells how to conquer lust and gives him so many instructions. And then the fourth chapter describes the parampara, how that knowledge comes. Here, Sukadeva Goswami, he said, according to the Vedas, and then he gives an example, that this was described by Lord Krishna unto Brahma. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains that there's two different ways of reaching the spiritual sky and getting emancipation from all material bondage. Because this is what has been discussed, reaching the spiritual sky and getting emancipated by material bondage. So there were two ways that are described. The direct process of reaching the kingdom of God, or the gradual process through the other higher planets of the universe, are set forth exactly according to the version of the Vedas. So Sukadeva Goswami now explained the second process. Going to the spiritual world indirectly through the planetary system. And after explaining that, he's saying this is exactly according to the Vedic version. And in the purport, Prabhupada quotes, the Vedic versions in this connection are, and then he quotes from the Brihat Aranyaka Upanishads, and he gives different verses from there. Quote, those who are free from all material desires, which are the diseases of the heart, are able to conquer death and enter the kingdom of God through the Archi planet. So this is exactly what was described. That you, when you're free from material desires, and you can conquer death, which we saw, and then enter the planets through the, enter the kingdom of God through the planets. So we saw this, and these are the Vedic versions, which are confirmed by the Bhagavatam. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is also confirming this. He confirms that this truth was disclosed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Brahma, the first authority, and that's the disciplic succession. Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Sukadeva. So it came right in disciplic succession, initially described by Lord Krishna, who is satisfied by Brahma's worship. And this is the system of how the knowledge actually descends. So he's describing that here. And then he comes to the conclusion. For those who are wandering in this material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. So two processes were described. He said, I've described this by Vedic version, but the most auspicious is bhakti yoga directly. That's the most auspicious. But in one sense, he also says, or that which aims at bhakti yoga. So the most auspicious thing is the process that has the Bhagavad Gita, that has the goal of the personality of God in our relationship with him. Direct or indirect. But more auspicious is direct. More auspicious is direct. Shiva, for those wandering, Vishita, for those wandering, Samstrito, in the samsara, the material world, those who are wandering, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavanji, there's nothing, says Anya, any other, not Anya, there's nothing other that Shiva auspicious than that which results in Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga is nothing more auspicious. Purport, as will be clarified in the next verse, devotional service or direct Bhakti Yoga is the only absolute and auspicious means of deliverance from the grips of material existence. And then Prabhupada in the purport, to reference this, he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, 12.5, you know? I think so. It's so difficult, the impersonal path. Difficult. And then 7.19, Bahunam Jamanam Ante, Yanavam Mam Papajite, Vasudeva Sava, Samahatma Sudulava. And 6.47, Yoginam Api Sarvesha, Madgatena Tarasana, Shadhavam, the topmost yogi. And 18.66, Sarvadharma and Parityaja. Is that it? Is that, yeah. Mam ekam charanam vrita.
And is recommending all of
these? Let me finish the purport and then we'll discuss. As already explained in the text of Bhagavatam, first canto, either direct bhakti yoga or the means which ultimately culminate in bhakti yoga, without any tinge of fruitive activity, constitutes the highest form of religion. Everything else is simply a waste of time. There was two verses. One was, Savai Pumsa Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Radoksiti Hoitiki Apati Yatali. Because he asked, what is the absolute and ultimate good? And the answer was, pure devotional service. What is the essence of all scriptures? The answer was, pure devotional service. And then he said, Dharma Sunushtita Pumsa Viviksena Katasya No Padiye Yadiratim Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. If your dharma or religious activity doesn't culminate in rati or attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam is certainly useless. Why did he mention the other path? We discussed that. He was describing what is the duty of a man about to die. So he was describing the duty for different types of people in different levels of consciousness. You'll see when it comes here, even though he's described this indirect process, and how did he wind up describing the indirect process? Because he told him to chant here, and then he said there's some favorable conditions. Like you tell someone to chant here, but then you tell him you get an asana, you take sannyas, you keep yourself clean, you follow the regular principles. So even within our process, we have yam, niyam, asanam, asana. We have those also. Now, this is so interesting. So he says this, and for those wandering, there's nothing more auspicious than what's aimed at Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga. And it says Bhavate, which may result in. So indirect is also good. Yes.
So in his beginning presentation, Sukadeva Swami is including what everyone would probably have been pretty accepted in this way. That all his thinking, he's talking about, I agree with him, I'm there with you.
Very good
talking
point.
About something that I appreciate, and in this way, he's soliciting their interest.
You see, this is actually a very excellent point also. We discussed that. There was controversy until Sukadeva Goswami came. So as a good preacher, you have to really be sensitive to what the audience is. That's an excellent point. Yeah. And therefore, and also the other point also is interesting is that the Bhagavatam is for everyone. So the Bhagavatam is also for the scientists. This is, the calculation of time from the atom, for the sadaputas of the world. Mm. It's got everything. Kings. So even though it's nigama kalpa toro galitam palam sukamukha amrita dravya samyutam, even if it's the ripened fruit of the Vedas, it's presented in a way that it's semi-solid, soft, and easily swallowable. It's digestible for everyone. Because it's got the kings and it's got the, the time and it's got the yoga. I mean, if you don't put in this yoga stuff, a lot of spiritualists won't take to this. So that's also very, very important point also.
The right is told one to pick up according to one's own frame of mind.
Yes, but your own frame of mind, but when you come to the platform of bhakti, then you see everything in terms of that. For example, if you have a relationship with Krishna and then you see the deity of Ram, then you will see how nice that Krishna is dressing as a king. Mm-hmm. You'll see it in that perspective. So the same sense, everything here is rasa, because when you have a description of the material world and there's a braja bhakta who's listening to the description of the material, what does he think? Krishna is so wonderful. Krishna is so wonderful. Look what he can do. And it's being spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, so it's spoken by a devotee with love for Krishna. any description in the Bhagavatam is in the consciousness of Sukadeva Goswami thinking of his loving relationship with Krishna and describing him. So it's all relishable. The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of mind, studied the Vedas 3 times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. So it says, Rati. He studied Kutasa with concentration, Manishya with scholarly attention, Anviksha, he scrutinized and examined, three times, Kartsneya, by summation of the Vedas and studying, then Rati was the goal. This was his conclusion, that Rati, and this is a scholar, scholars, they study the Vedas 3 times with attention, concentrating on the purpose. And after examining the whole process, he ascertained that becoming a pure, unalloyed devotee of Krishna is the topmost religious perfection. Anything else, Kuva? The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being, the Lord of the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. So this is anumapakai, by hypothesis. Lakshana, by studying the different symbols, by the intelligence. So, what Prabhupada is explaining here, it's interesting because it's ascertained by Shastra, the position of Krishna, and that Krishna is the super soul in everyone's heart. That's also ascertained by the use of logic. There are 10 pramanas. The topmost pramana is Shabda Brahman, but the other pramanas are also means of knowing. So Prabhupada discusses in the purport, I don't have time to really get into this logic. I think you need a whole class by itself to study this one. But he studied, by logic and by use of intelligence, step by step, you can come to that realization that there's a difference between the body and the soul, and a difference between the soul and the super soul. You can understand this by your intelligence. And therefore Prabhupada said, knowledge means to know matter, spirit, and the controller of both. And we discussed before, and knowing their relationship, that is what is sambandhagyan. Sambandhagyan means to know the relationship between each of these. Between the Supreme Lord and matter, between the Supreme Lord and living entity, between matter and the Supreme Lord, between matter and the living entity, between the living entity and the Supreme Lord, living entity. When you know that, you have sambandhagyan. So this knowledge, it can be, so Prabhupada said, realization of the super self by the individual self, one is able to realize by the help of the intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. So this is by your intelligence you can figure this out, you can understand it. By intelligence. The Prabhupada, he says, so if we stick to our determination to pray for the mercy of the director of intelligence sitting within the same bodily tree, the purport of the real scriptures become clear. So once accepting that understanding and then praying to the super soul.
Ultimately, it results into clear and surrender. What is the topic in the following?
Yes.
The ultimate stage is clear
and surrender. Isn't that? That's why bhakti, every process, entails bhakti. Because every process entails some inspiration. Even jnana yoga, you have to get inspired. There has to be something descending. Astanga yoga, there has to be a degree of mercy in every process. O King, it is therefore essential that every living being, tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada, shrotavya kirti tavyasya smartavyo bhagavan yunam. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about Glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So, the conclusion is therefore. So what is, why therefore? Why is that the conclusion based on what hypothesis? Because in the previous verse he already explained that there's no auspicious means of salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. Because that was his conclusion. And the question was, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? So you can explain the indirect process, then discuss what was said by Lord Brahma, that it was according to Shastra, describe what Lord Brahma's conclusion was, that ratim, attraction for Krishna, is the end, the highest perfection is attraction for Krishna, and therefore, O King, therefore it is essential to every human being hear about, glorify, remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. That's why Dharma is useless if it doesn't evoke attraction for Krishna. Because Dharma is our eternal nature, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is Krishna's servant. Those activities which uncover our eternal nature as Krishna's servant, that's what ultimately, what is right, that's the duty of the human being, and that's what's Dharma. And the process of uncovering our eternal nature is chanting and hearing about Krishna, is invoking that attraction and attachment within our heart. That's the process for awakening our... So therefore, the conclusion is, and this is related to his initial question in the first canto, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? So he didn't say, now, you know, he explained favorable conditions that one could cultivate, and then also how you can go there indirectly. But his conclusion is it's essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. This word, sarvatra, sarvadha, everywhere and anywhere, is discussed when Lord Brahma was instructed by Krishna the four verses, the Chaturshloki Bhagavata. So he discussed the first two verses were Sambandhagyan. What is Krishna's relationship with the material world and the living entity, and his relationship with the material world and the living entity. Then he discussed prema. The third chapter shloki was prema. And prema basically means that your consciousness is completely fixed on Krishna. He described, you see Krishna everywhere. That's the goal of prema. Then he described the abhidhayagyan, the process of achieving that. And when he discussed it, one should search for this directly and indirectly anywhere and everywhere. And what Prabhupada discussed, that means it describes the universal applicability of Krishna consciousness. There's no material qualification. It's universally applicable. Because it entails engaging in our relationship. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna, and there's no qualification for engaging in a relationship which you have other than doing it. An example is given. If you're a mother and that's your child, you don't have to be rich, you don't have to have knowledge. There's no qualification other than doing it because it's your inherent relationship. So therefore, this is the duty of a human being, and it's applicable anywhere. It's applicable in all circumstances to any person. You don't have to be any of caste. You don't have to be any species of life. You know, in any condition, there's no restriction to this process. And of course, Prabhupada in the purport, he highlights the hearing. There's nine methods. Bhakti yoga, specifically the word was Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, the process of bhakti yoga means nine processes. But processes. But out of all the nine methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one could make any progress by any of the methods of practice. So it's hearing properly. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there compiled by Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation. This is the special duty of the human being. Hearing. Without hearing, you can't pray. Without hearing, you can't chant. Without hearing, you can't remember. Therefore, Prabhupada's previous verse said, hearing is the first essential. So this is, Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are meant for that purpose. And if you don't hear about this, you hear about mundane sounds and you become degraded. And hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who is perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of God and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. And all the great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, even other countries, Muhammad, Christ, all have extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. So chanting. I personally have that realization also that by studying the Bhagavatam regularly now, I can talk Krishna Katha. And if you haven't heard properly, you can only talk the japa. There's nothing else to talk about. So it's so important to hear properly. And chant all processes. So this is described. Now, beautiful verse. Vibhantiye bhagavata atmana sutam katam ratim shravana puteshisam vritam punantite vishya vidushita sayam rajanti tacharana sharohuhantikam. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian messages of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. Yea, those, Vibhanti, who drink, Shravana Putisha, within the ear holes, Katam Ratam, the nectar of the messages, Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Punanti, purify the dushita asayam, the polluted aim of life, which is vishaya, material enjoyment. And then, vajante, they do go back to charana, to the Lord's lotus feet. So this is the conclusion of this indirect process and going to what it highlights. So even though it was described, the indirect process, what it highlights? It highlights what is the aim. The aim is Krishna. And with Him, an attraction for Him. And how to get that attraction? By chanting and hearing. And therefore, those who listen to this Katamrita, then they become purified of the root cause of being in the material world. The sufferings of human society are due to a polluted aim of life, namely lording over the material resources. A polluted aim of life. Because we aim not to be a devotee of Krishna, but to be the enjoyer. As Prabhupada says, a position which we cannot have by our constitution. Therefore, to satisfy that aim, Krishna has to put us in illusion that we're not devotees of Krishna, but we're something else. And what is that? We're the enjoyer, the controllers, we have this material body. So it's that aim that puts us in the material world. And to become liberated from the material world, you've got to be purified of that aim. You can only become purified of that aim by developing rati, getting a different aim, an aim to please Krishna. And how does that rati come? It comes from chanting and hearing and listening. Vibhanti, drinking through the ear holes, the katamritam, the nectarian messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you go back to Godhead. So this is the highest perfection. And what is this katamritam? What is this nectarian messages? And Prabhupada quotes from Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada has commented on Kanthamritam mentioned in this verse has indicated that Srimad Bhagavatam is the nectarian message of the personality of Godhead. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside, and the people in general, in all parts of the world, will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. Today I read for the first time Prabhupada's introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in it, Prabhupada says specifically, I've given the Sanskrit and the word by word and the synonyms and the translation so that if you study systematically the 9 cantos, you will get your eternal relationship with Krishna. You will become perfect. The reading matter is so, it should be gone through. The only qualification one needs to study the great book of transcendental knowledge is to proceed step by step cautiously and not jump forward haphazardly like an ordinary book. It should be gone through chapter by chapter, one after another. The reading matter is so arranged with its original Sanskrit text, its English transliteration, synonyms, translations, and purport, so that one is sure to become a God-realized soul at the end of finishing the first 9 cantos. The 10th canto is distinct from the first 9 cantos because it deals directly with the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. One will be unable to capture the effect of the 10th canto without going through the first 9 cantos. And Prabhupada says, and by the constant hearing of the messages of Bhagavad Gita and later Srimad Bhagavatam, one is assured herein by Srila Sukadeva Goswami that he will reach the personality of Godhead and render him transcendental loving service in the spiritual planet in the name Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower. Thus, by the process of bhakti yoga, directly accepted as accepted in this verse, by sufficient hearing of the transcendental message of the Lord, the material contamination is directly eliminated without one attempting to contemplate the impersonal virat conception of the Lord. And by practicing bhakti yoga, if the performer is not purified from material contamination, he must be a pseudo-devotee. For such an imposter, there is no remedy for being freed from material entanglement. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 2nd canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord in the Heart. Rupa, any point? I never realized, now that I'm going through it and getting these realizations and studying it systematically, I feel that hope now, I have to say. You know, if you do it properly, if you do it by folio, you know some subject matters, but it's not the same effect. And it's going systematically. It's so systematic, the themes of the Bhagavatam. Okay, then we will end. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.